Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. Happy Friday, it's November 14th. I'm Jonathan Linden, in for Elizabeth Arkalian. Should the Ten Commandments be displayed in classrooms?
It's not the government's place to teach kids about religion. You know, that's for their parents and going to church and things like that.
One Valley School Board has been open to the idea, but there's pushback. We have a conversation with a group opposing the move, but first, these news headlines. The Federal Department of Justice is joining a lawsuit by California's GOP against California's new voter maps. Voters overwhelmingly approved new congressional maps under Proposition 50 earlier this month. Prop 50 seeks to give Democrats an advantage in the House of Representatives. But conservative groups say the move is unconstitutional. The California Republican Party sued over the maps just a day after voters approved them. In a statement emailed to the Associated Press, Attorney General Pam Bondi referred to Prop 50 as a, quote, brazen power grab. The leader of the State Center Community College District has announced that she will retire next September. KVPR's Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado has more on the announcement from Chancellor Carol Goldsmith.
The announcement was made at the district's headquarters in downtown Fresno. Goldsmith said the district is thriving, enrollment is strong, and finances are solid. But she said this feels like the right moment to step aside. She's ending a 30-year career in education. District leaders praised Goldsmith for her dedication and also concurred that the district has been headed in the right direction. The State Center Community College District has a large footprint. It oversees more than 50,000 students across four different college campuses in Fresno, Reedley, Madera, and Clovis. Goldsmith will stay on until next September to finish current initiatives. One of those includes a housing project at Fresno City College. That's where she previously spent 5 years as college president. For KVPR News, I'm Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado.
A push to ban street vendors in Fresno's Tower District on weekend nights has encountered pushback. The proposal is meant to prevent disturbances as crowds leave bars. Our newsroom partner Fresnoland reports significant community opposition online and during the Fresno City Council's public comment period. The policy was tabled at this week's meeting and pushed to November 20th. A modified version of the proposal may focus on increasing fines for current violations instead of an outright ban. A prominent Fresno lobbyist is among those arrested this week for alleged fraud in Sacramento. Greg Campbell and several others were named in a federal indictment. The group is accused of conspiracy to commit fraud related to funds from a dormant political campaign for former U.S. Congressman Xavier Becerra. The Fresno Bee reports Campbell is under contract with the city of Fresno. Also accused is Dana Williamson. She is a former top aide to Governor Gavin Newsom. Governor Newsom is representing California at the UN's Global Climate Conference, COP30, in Brazil this week. He's the highest-ranking elected official from the U.S. in attendance, after the Trump administration declined to send a representative. Newsom entered California into multiple non-binding agreements with countries in attendance and touted the state's dedication to reducing carbon emissions. He also said the Democratic Party has struggled to connect with people on climate change and renewable energy as affordability issues.
It's not about electric power, it's about economic power. I think we have to reframe it as a cost of living issue.
California's energy prices for consumers, including gasoline, are among the highest in the nation. Starting this week, there's a brand new entertainment center in the Valley. Hard Rock Casino Tejon has officially opened in Kern County. The brand new location, 30 minutes south of Bakersfield, opened in partnership with the Tejon Indian Tribe. Casino operators held a so-called Qatar Smash ceremony on Wednesday to mark the occasion. The project cost $600 million, and officials say it's expected to provide more than 1,000 jobs in the local market.
Support for Central Valley Daily comes from Fresno Mazda, part of the Prieto Automotive family, leading the industry in the IIHS 2025 Top Safety Pick Awards, helping move Mazda closer to the goal of eliminating traffic fatalities. More information and the Mazda Digital Showroom available at myfresnomazda.com.
And now to our main story. You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Those are just a few of the items listed in the Ten Commandments. But should these religious teachings be part of a school environment? The Kern County Board of Education has been open to the idea in recent months. The board is a body that operates under the Kern County Superintendent of Schools and oversees 6 alternative education schools. Those serve about 400 students. On Thursday night, the Board of Education was set to hear a proposal that would have placed the Ten Commandments at its 6 school campuses, but at the last minute, the board pulled the item off the agenda. Several community members were there to speak about it. Placing the Ten Commandments in classrooms is a fight happening in multiple school districts across the country. One voice leading opposition to these efforts is the Freedom From Religion Foundation. That group joined with the American Civil Liberties Union in issuing a letter to the Kern County Board of Education. They urged the board to reject the proposal. Today, we're talking with Chris Line to understand more about why they oppose this idea. He's an attorney with the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Chris starts by explaining his group's recent efforts against the district.
I think it's important to explain, though, that this is sort of phase 2 of a proposal, because we actually dealt with this situation already back in December in Kern County when they wanted to put the Ten Commandments up in every single classroom. The community showed up, said that they didn't want it. The ACLU got involved there. We at FFRF, we sent a letter at that time. And then sometime in January, the board dropped the idea of putting the Ten Commandments up in every single classroom. But then now, last month, we learned that they separately were going to now come forward and they wanted to put up the Ten Commandments in each school, along with some other historical displays in sort of a big display that they put up. It sounds like probably like in the lobby or something, not in each classroom. So it seems pretty clear here that the board is intent on putting the Ten Commandments up. They tried one idea, which was not a good one, to put up in the classrooms. FFRF, along with the ACLU and other groups, are currently taking lawsuits in Texas, Louisiana, in other states, fighting against Ten Commandments in the classrooms. So I think they wanted to try a new tactic here, thinking it might be more legally permissible to create this sort of display. But it's very clear, based on the actions of the school board, that their intention here is actually just to get the Ten Commandments in front of kids in the schools.
Have they indicated at all what other items they would be putting around the Ten Commandments? It sounds like they potentially haven't.
From what I was seeing, I saw that it would include like the Declaration of Independence. I did see the national motto was thrown out there, "In God We Trust," which, you know, just adds to the sort of religious nature. And then there were two, the Pledge of Allegiance, I think, was also one of them. This is just going off of local news stories I've read.
So you're a lawyer, Chris, with the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which, as you've kind of hinted at, opposes this proposal. Can you tell us why that is the case?
Yeah, so that's what we do here at FFRF. We work to protect the separation of church and state, which says that our government cannot promote religion, cannot affiliate itself with religion. Here in America, we all have religious freedom rights to believe what we want. And in order for all of us to believe what we want, we have to have a government that's free from religion. And so that's why we get involved in situations like this, where a school board is trying to put the Ten Commandments up, a religious text that's only meaningful to, you know, Christians and Jews, and doesn't really, you know, serve all the people. You know, there's a lot of people who are not Jewish or Christian who don't want to see, and even many Christians who also don't want to see these religious edicts put up inside of a school classroom. You know, the government, it's not the government's place to teach kids about religion. You know, that's for their parents and going to church and things like that. We in America have secular school classrooms.
As you've mentioned, your organization operates on the overall premise that there is separation between church and state. However, many prominent conservatives, including Republican Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, will argue against your argument. In fact, in a recent post on X, formerly Twitter, Johnson claimed that the words "separation between church and state" don't appear in the Constitution and that, quote, "the founders wanted to protect the church from an encroaching state, not the other way around." How does your organization respond to that argument?
Yeah, that's correct. The actual words separation of church and state are not in the Constitution. But it doesn't, you don't have to be a huge scholar to read the writings of Thomas Jefferson, James Madison. They, at the time that they were developing the Constitution, they did a lot of writing and clearly laid out what their thoughts were as they were putting it together. And it's abundantly clear from those writings that they intended a strict separation between church and state. The separation of church and state phrase comes from a letter Thomas Jefferson wrote to the Danbury Baptists, letting them, you know, kind of laying out what the Establishment Clause meant. And the Establishment Clause, not on its own, but in conjunction with the Free Exercise Clause. Because as I noted, you know, we don't really have freedom to have our own religion if a government can impose a certain religion on us. You know, you need freedom from religion in order to have your own religious beliefs.
Now, I want to zoom out a little bit. You hinted at Texas, but this year, the state of Texas is requiring all of its schools to put up the Ten Commandments in classrooms. Is that something that's becoming more common across the country? And is your organization fighting those rules at all?
Yeah, we're fighting them big. I mean, we've taken, first off, yes, it is expanding across the country, and we are fighting it on every front. We've got a lawsuit in Louisiana regarding the Ten Commandments in classrooms. As you mentioned, Texas, Arkansas, and not only do we have those, we're expanding them when we can. So in many of our cases, we've won injunctions stopping certain school districts from being able to put up the Ten Commandments. And we've then tried to add new plaintiffs when possible to expand that to as many districts as we can to try to protect people there from having their students exposed to these school-sponsored religious edicts.
Do you expect a court ruling on those laws at all that would reverse them, or what are your expectations right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's clear that at some point there's going to be need to be a ruling resolving this because, as we noted, it is expanding and a lot of different states are trying this. But as of right now, there's really no need for that because, you know, the Supreme Court clearly already ruled on this issue. In 1980, the Stone v. Graham decision, the Supreme Court said that you cannot put the Ten Commandments up in school classrooms. And these new situations are no different than that case. Nothing has changed. This is the exact same situation that the Supreme Court, you know, almost 50 years ago said is not constitutional. And the only thing that's changed is obviously the people on the court.
I do want to note that this rule, if passed, would only affect about 400 students who are directly enrolled in classes with the County Board of Education. Does this relatively small exposure make this proposal more palpable? What are your views on that situation specifically, because they serve such a small student population?
Yeah, I mean, the Constitution protects everyone. It doesn't really matter, you know, what school district you go to. So it's not like if you're at a giant school district, you get constitutional protection and the right to sort of hold your own free religious beliefs without coercion from the government. Even if this was two people at a school district, they would have the right to not have their rights violated in this way by the school district.
So if they do pass this, is your organization prepared to respond at all?
So, you know, I can't give a definitive answer on that, but we definitely would be looking to talk with parents in the district and see if there's anyone negatively affected that we might work with to challenge this in court if necessary. You know, there's a lot of factors that go into that, so I can't say definitively what we would do, but this is clearly unconstitutional, as I said, under both the U.S. and California Constitution. So we would be looking into what actions could possibly be taken to stop this if they do vote yes.
That was my conversation with Chris Line. He's an attorney with the Freedom From Religion Foundation. As I mentioned at the start, on Thursday night, the Kern County Board of Education pulled in an agenda item at the last minute that, if enacted, would have required its six schools to display the Ten Commandments in their school lobbies. KVPR will continue to cover this story as it develops. And that's today's show. Today's episode was produced by me, Jonathan Linden, Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado, and KVPR, with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
Sources and Methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.